إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. الحمد لله رب العالمين. All praises due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. All praises due to Allah, who has guided us to this path, and He's made no crookedness therein. الحمد لله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers in the Quran in a very challenging way when he says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن الناس من يتخذ من دون الله أندادا يحبونهم كحب الله والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله ولو يرى الذين ظلموا إذ يرون العذاب أن القوة لله جميعا وأن الله شديد العذاب. So Allah says, amongst the people, there are those who take likenesses that they worship as they should worship, that they love rather as they should love Allah. And their love is manifested in their worship of those likenesses, their obedience to those likenesses, in a way that they should worship and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. The one who loves someone obeys them. So they obey those likenesses out of their love for them as they should obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. This is the point we wanted to make. Allah describes the believers. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those who believe are more intense in their love for Allah. They love Allah more than they love anything or anyone else. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ من حبهم من أي شيء آخر. They love Allah more than they love anything else. So we should ask ourselves, because we would see ourselves as believers, how intense, how deep is our love for Allah? Right? There's a popular song back in the day, some of you are old enough to remember, how deep is your love? How deep is your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How deep is our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And when it comes down to making those critical and important choices and decisions in our lives? Are those decisions informed by the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that love being greater than anything else? Or are those decisions informed by the love of the house more than we love Allah? By the love of the car more than we love Allah? By the love of the children more than we love Allah? By the love of the spouse more than we love Allah? By the love of the job more than we love Allah? We should ask ourselves. And if we find indeed it is the case that we love those things more than we love Allah, therefore the decisions we make concerning them are decisions that amount to rebellion against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to take stock of our faith. Most of the issues we're confronted with at the end of the day, it's not a crisis of hijab, it's not a crisis of selling liquor in the store, it's not a crisis of going into interest, pure, clear interest for the sake of the house. It's a crisis of faith. Because faith informs those decisions. It's a crisis of love. Because love informs those decisions. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. But love has foundations. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has related to us in the compilations of Imam at-Tirmidhi, Imam al-Hakim and others. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ahibbu Allah lima asda ila alaykum min ni'amihi." That you should love Allah based on what He has extended to you and presented to you of His blessings. Look how blessed we are, brothers and sisters. There are some people who think Muslims in America right now, we have it hard. It's so hard. But they only think that way because, as is the case in many instances, there's no comparative framework. When we view things in isolation, it's easy to distort their true implications. So we say, oh, look how people, they talk about us, and look at the bad media that we get, and look how people are discriminating against us on the job, and look how people, they look at us, oh, there goes one of them, and they start whispering, there goes one. You think there's a bomb under that big dress. Well, we have it hard. But when we start looking at the plight of Muslims elsewhere, we look at the Muslims in Halab right now, or other parts of Syria, a situation that Ban Ki-moon, who hasn't done much to alleviate the situation, but in describing it, he said, it is worse than a slaughterhouse. It is worse than a slaughterhouse, what's happening in Halab right now. Barrel bombs and bunker busting bombs being blocked on crowded apartment complexes filled with innocent civilians. We look at what's happened to Muslims in Yemen right now. Blockaded. No food can get in. And then everything that a bomb can fall on, from the limited infrastructure that's in that country in the first place, one of the poorest countries on earth, but their people's character is amongst the richest character on earth. At the end of the day, that's what really counts. Al-hikmatu yamaniya, wal-iman yamani. But look what's happening in Yemen. Hospitals bombed. Schools bombed, marketplaces bombed, even masajids being bombed. Innocent people being bombed in their homes. What's happening in Kashmir right now? One of the most intense phases of the Indian occupation of Kashmir, the people there are witnessing going through hell on earth. Or you can name the other places. When we look at those places, we realize how good we have it. We realize how good we have it. They're starving in Yemen. We're searching for a diet plan. They have no security whatsoever. We go to sleep safe and secure. There's probably no one in this room right now who's had their privacy invaded by the police kicking down their doors and storming into their house and dragging out their women folk in their pajamas. We don't even imagine that happening. We don't go to bed and we're thinking, wow, what if the police or the army or the National Guard or even some drug cartel? Even look beyond the Muslim world. Look what's happening in Mexico, right next door. People caught in the crossfire of these drug wars. Innocent people being beheaded. If there was a beheading Olympics, ISIS wouldn't even get a medal. The medals would go to Mexico and Honduras and Guatemala. This is a reality, and not to talk about it in those ways that some people might mistake as being flippant, but just to make the point. People are suffering, Muslims are suffering, others are suffering. But we don't worry about that. None of us has never crossed our mind, even in the worst, the aftermath of this misguided fool in New York and New Jersey planting these bombs and the people getting all riled up, being whipped up by the media. Even in those periods of tension, none of us would ever think that someone's going to kidnap a family member and take them, drag them off somewhere and lop their heads off. We wouldn't even begin to think that way, brothers and sisters. And why are those thoughts so far from our consciousness? They're removed from our consciousness because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has extended His blessings to us. And two of the greatest blessings, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. Then let them worship the Lord of these sacred precincts who has fed them and driven hunger away from them and given them security from fear. الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. So we don't think that way because Allah has driven hunger away from us. And Allah has driven fear away from us. And so we don't entertain these thoughts. But the thought we should entertain is how deep is our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that Allah has extended His favors to us to that degree. أَحِبُّ اللَّهَ لِمَا أَسْدَى عَلَيْكُم مِّن نِعَمِهِ. Love Allah for what He has extended to you from His blessings. La ilaha illallah. This is a huge part of our religion. Love. La yu'minu ahadukum hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi. Ahabbu ilayhi min walidihi wa waladihi wa nasi ajma'in. No one of you truly believes until I am more beloved to him than his father, than his son, and those meaning but than his parents, than his children. When nasi ajma'in, and all of humanity. So just as we ask the question concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. We could ask the question concerning the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do we love him more than all of humanity? One of our great forebears, Sahal bin Abdullah at-Tustari, rahimahullah, he says something very, very profound if we reflect on it. He said, "Alamatu hubbillah, hubbul Quran." The sign of the love of Allah is the love of the Quran. When we love, especially when we're younger, when we get old, we get crusty and we manifest love in different ways. But when we're young and passionate, and we get a letter, I guess these days you would get a text message from your beloved. So I love you, and tells you the reasons why. I love you because you're the greatest thing since apple pie. That is why my love for you will never die. And she goes on with her poem. You don't delete that text message. Every 5 minutes you look at it. Subhanallah. She thinks I'm apple pie. Subhanallah. 20 minutes later, subhanallah. Because a lover loves and cherishes the words of their beloved. And if we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we understand that His words are the Quran. His speech is the Quran. The Quran is like that text message you get from your beloved. It's like that love, that note they slipped you into your book, and you open the book after class and you found this note, and it says that whoever loves you, and you just cherish it, they put a little perfume on the note and you smell it every once in a while. That's the love note from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those who love Allah, they love the Quran. Alamatu hubbillah, hubbul Quran. Wa alamatu hubbillah wa hubbul Quran, hubbun nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the sign of one's love for Allah and one's love for the Quran is the love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the love of the Messenger of Allah is the key to Allah's love. If we love someone, we love those things that enables that love and facilitates that love. If we know the one that sends us the text message, she loves green, we go find us a green shirt. And we start loving green because she loves green. If she loves blue, find us a blue shirt, a matching blue taqiyya to go with the blue shirt because she loves blue. Allah loves His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah says to His Habib, He addresses him, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحِبُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And so he says, وَعَلَامَةُ حُبِّ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ حُبُّ السُّنَّةِ. And the sign of the love for the Prophet, may the blessings and peace be upon him, is loving the Sunnah. Because the Sunnah instructs us as to how we follow the Prophet. And following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the key to Allah's love. Say to them, O Muhammad, if it be that you love Allah, then follow me. We cannot follow the Messenger of Allah without the Sunnah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we can't love Allah or attain to the love of Allah sallallahu radiyallahu azza wa jal without loving and following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَعَلَامَةُ حُبِّ السُّنَّةِ حُبُّ الْآخِرَةِ. And a sign of loving the Sunnah is loving the Akhirah. لا إله إلا الله. Because the Sunnah paves the way to paradise. Because the Sunnah is a reflection of our willingness and our desire to imitate our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When someone loves someone, they imitate them. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he loved the Akhirah. So much so that when he was asked, would he prefer to remain in this world or to take his place in the Akhirah amongst those who preceded him, what did he say? Al-Rafiqul A'la, the highest host. How many of us, if we were given the choice right now to stay in this world, to enjoy the comforts we enjoy, to enjoy our homes, and to enjoy our cars, and our jobs, and our mates, and our friends, and spouses, and children, and parents, and relatives, and friends, and neighbors, and the good times that we enjoy, and the trips to Yosemite, and the trips to the beach. How many of us would say, no, I prefer the highest host? وَعَلَامَةُ حُبِّ السُّنَّةِ حُبُّ الْآخِرَةِ. Loving the Akhirah. Which brings us back to something we mentioned initially. The lack of a love for the Akhirah again returns to a crisis of faith. Amongst the things we're to have faith in is the Akhirah. فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِيمَانِ أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسوله وملائكته وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. To believe in Allah and the messengers and Allah and His angels and messengers, to believe in the divine decree, to believe in the last day. It takes faith. So in addressing all of the things before us, let us try to address and to strengthen and to buttress our faith. And to do that, the two greatest things we have to do that, or three, we'll mention. There are many. The Quran. Because the Quran connects us to Allah in a real way. We can have some abstract, vague conceptualization. There's a supreme being who created it all. We can engage in logical formulas. If we follow them to their logical conclusion, we have to conclude there must be a creator. But a firm, living, dynamic attachment and actualizing of that idea, when the idea becomes actualized so that it's real to the very depth of our being, that's something that comes about through an attachment to the Quran and then following the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and studying his life. Because in studying his life, we see that the things we're wrestling with, they're the same things that his community in its early phases were wrestling with. And as we see the way that Allah in many instances in very miraculous ways resolved many of those crises, it strengthens our faith and it leads us to believe that whatever we're encountering will be resolved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third thing we can mention is keeping the company of righteous people. Al-mar'u 'ala dini khalilihi falyanzur ahadukum man yukhalil. A person is on the religion of his or her companion. Therefore, let each and every one of you consider well the company that he or she keeps. You can't watch television all night and all this facade that's being put out there by these people have no belief in any type of religion, in many instances. And not have it erode our faith. One cannot keep the company of profligates. People have no moral compass. Every other word out of their mouth is a profane word. Every thought, every encouragement they give us is an encouragement that pushes us towards the dunya, towards this world. You can't inundate yourself with those messages and nurture your faith. One has to keep the company of righteous people. One has to look down upon those above them in the world and not up to them in longing for their dunya, and look up to those above them in religion, so one can rise up to their level. Now we do the exact opposite. We look down on the people above us in religion. And to do that, we just find some fault that we might point to. Well, you know, she's not really all that. She knows the Quran, but I heard her backbiting one time. So why should I look up to her? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. May Allah bless us. May Allah strengthen us. May Allah Ta'ala bless us to reflect on the words of our predecessors who are dealing with things we are dealing with. The human condition doesn't change. The human condition doesn't change. There's nothing new under the sun, as they say. Everything's being recycled. Recycling was invented before California passed a law about 20 years ago. Everything's being recycled. So we can benefit from them, from their wisdom, from their experience. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ ولسائر المؤمنين يقوم استغفر الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. So to recap, brothers and sisters, ask yourself, how deep is your love for Allah? وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Ask yourself, ask ourselves. I need to ask myself also. How deep is our love for the Quran? How deep is our love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How deep is our love for the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How deep is our love and our longing for the Akhirah? That's the realm where we meet Allah. من أحب لقاء الله أحب الله لقاءه. The one who longs and loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet him or her. So these are the things we should long for. We shouldn't be longing for the ultimate house. We should long for decent quarters. We shouldn't long for the ultimate car. A decent car we should long for. There's nothing wrong with that if we have the means to purchase it. But not the ultimate car. Just a decent, good, solid car. We shouldn't long for the ultimate clothing. Just enough to clothe our nakedness and to adorn us to a sufficient degree. But not diamond-studded kind of Liberace jacket or an Elvis cape that you had to kill 100 minks to get. The minks deserve to live. Just something decent, not extreme. We're a balanced nation. We shouldn't aspire to dress like paupers. Say, well, I'm a Sufi. Well, that has nothing to do with tasawwuf. We'll stop with this story. Ibn Abul Hasan al-Shadhuli, who lost his eyesight in his adulthood. So at this point he couldn't see, but he dressed in a dignified fashion. And one day he perceived there was a shabbily dressed person based on his conversation, he comes to Al-Imam Abu al-Hasan, and he says, you're supposed to be the Zahid and the great Shaykh and Sufi, and look at these clothes you're wearing. And Abu al-Hasan, he said to him, he said, my decent clothing, my nice beautiful clothing are an aspect of my otherworldliness. Because when people see me, they don't think I need anything from their dunya, so they don't offer it to me. But when they see you in your shabby dress, they offer you their dunya. He didn't say it, but nowadays someone might say, put that in your abstinence pipe and smoke it. May Allah give us understanding. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, and in the West it said Imam al-Qurtubi. There's different versions. But the deeper wisdom in the story, what's important, he was in the souq on a horse, a regal horse, and he was nicely dressed. And there was a Jew who was selling oil, and the oil was splashing, and the dust from the souq is mixing with the oil, and he's a wretched mess. And he looks at Imam Ibn Hajar, or in the West, Imam al-Qurtubi, and he says, you know, I don't understand this, that your Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he might not have said that, he said, ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kathir. He says, what kind of, the world is a prison for the believer and is paradise for one who rejects the faith. He said, what kind of paradise am I in, and I'm in this wretched condition, and what kind of heaven, prison are you in, and you're on this fine horse with these nice clothes? And the Imam said to him, he said that the wretchedness you'll experience in hell will make what you're in now seem like you're in heaven. And the joys that I'll enjoy in paradise will make the state that I'm in now seem like I'm in prison. It's all a question of perspective. May Allah bless us with a good perspective on things. Allahumma ghfir lil muslimin wal muslimat wal mu'minin wal mu'minat al ihya'i minhum wal amwat. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. Rabbana afrigh 'alaina sabran wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna 'alal qawm al kafirin. Rabbana afrigh 'alaina sabran wa thabbit aqdamana wa tawaffana muslimin wa 'afu 'anna wa ighfir lana wa arhamna anta mawlana انصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم اقسم من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك، ومن طاعتك ما تبالغنا بها جنتك، ومن اليقين ما يهون علينا مصائب الدنيا، ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقوتنا ما أحييتنا، واجعله الوارث منا، واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا، وانصرنا على من عادانا، ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا، ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك ولا يرحمنا يا أرحم الراحمين. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان، اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان، اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أكم الصلاة يرحمني يرحمكم الله.